If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 16th of October 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Callum Chambers talks to us about his footballing hero. We delve into the letter S in the A to Z Arsenal. Brain of Arsenal returns with Adrian Clarke. Let's kick off, though, by looking back at Saturday's trip to Vicarage Road with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, Arsenal insider this week is Jim Campbell from Football Ramble. Jim, how's it going?
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Not too bad at all. Needless to say, another frustrating away day for the Gunners. What was your initial take on proceedings, first of all, at Vicarage Road?
Well, absolutely frustrating is the right word, isn't it? We're yet to win an away game in the Premier League, which is unfortunate. And I can't help but look back to the Chelsea game, where I know, you know, we didn't win the game, but we were looking at that as perhaps a sea change, where we were seeing like that intensity and that commitment that we need. And I feel like if we could get that from every player in every game, then we'd be fine. We'd be having a great time. But that was lacking at the weekend, sadly. So that, I think that's the first thing I need to address, is that intensity and that desire.
And I know it's such a simple question and such a hard answer, but I wonder why that is the case.
Yeah, it's a confusing thing, isn't it? It's because we've seen it consistency. You know, the manager has spoken about consistency and how that's something that the title-winning teams often have, and it seems that we struggle with keeping that up ourselves. You've got to give some credit to the opposition as well. Watford got in our faces in the second half in a way they didn't, and I guess that's always a little bit of an adjustment if you're expecting the game to be one thing and then suddenly it changes to another. But we've seen it so many times. We need to do something about it, and we've seen what to do about it. Again, I take it back to that Chelsea game. Chelsea are obviously a far, far better side than Watford. Stamford Bridge is a far harder place to go than Vicarage Road, and we gave a much better account of ourselves there. So it's a similar team as well, with Iwobi, Welbeck and Lacazette. So it's a tough one, but you know, we've got two tough away games coming up with Red Star Belgrade and Everton. I know Everton aren't having the best time, but we've had difficult games at Goodison Park, as many people have over the years. So, in a way, what we need right now is two tough away games, because that's where we're struggling.
Let's look at the game quickly back to Watford in chronological order. A pretty solid first half display up through Per Mertesacker and deservedly so at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just lovely to see Per Mertesacker back on the pitch, isn't it? You know, obviously he had an incredible cameo in the FA Cup final against Chelsea. Well, not a cameo, but sort of, you know, come back after a long time out. And he plays with a real joy. You know, you can see how much Per Mertesacker loves the game. We hear so much about how he understands it as well and how he's almost certainly going to have a big future as a coach. And, it's just nice to see him back. It wasn't the most scintillating first half, but it was controlled, you know, like, I look at sort of the Brighton game as something Arsenal are quite good at times, is that sort of controlled demolition of a game they should win, where they know exactly what to do, they know what the margins are, so they dig in and they do it. And the first half looked like we were going to have that pattern again, but obviously, you know, things change.
The game did then change in very controversial fashion. Here's a reminder.
Richarlison, left-hand side for Watford, looking to take on Hector Bayern in, challenges and brings down Richarlison. It's a penalty to Watford. Oh, the Arsenal players can't believe it. The problem here is that Bayern didn't get the ball.
The ball is gone by the time he starts.
That's
going
a
down.
Dive.
You know what? Ozil should have put this game out of reach 30 seconds earlier.
let's be fair, minimal contact. Player Richarlison possibly also going down at the time as well. Regardless, it really affected Arsenal, who clearly went into their shells from that very point.
Absolutely. And that was a frustrating thing. I've seen some pundits say that, you know, it's, you know, there's contact, so he's sort of within his rights to do that. But for me, you know, if, you know, if it's contact and you exaggerate it, that's simulation, isn't it? By the very definition of it involved. So that is frustrating, but we can't entirely point to that alone. You know, you will concede freakish goals, or you will get penalties that you don't deserve to be given against you. You then have to sort of dig in and fight back from that. And that's the worry, isn't it? I think the body language sometimes of the players as well look very much like they've been here before, and they can sort of see the narrative unfolding, and we're just sort of, you know, kind of enthralled to that a little bit more than they perhaps should have been, digging in and trying to sort of get us out of that.
So sitting back and, in a sense, as you say, paying the price with Cleverley's injury time winner, but missing chances as well when 1-0 up, and that also proved very costly, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's one of the factors of Wenger's play for a long, long time. It has been that patience, hasn't it? So sometimes it might appear that actually the team aren't, you know, busting gut as much as they should be. And I think, you know, at times like that, it looks like the players aren't working hard enough and they're not trying hard enough. But, I guess expressing the frustration in a really sort of angry, vocal way every time something doesn't go your way isn't necessarily productive, because it wastes energy. But, you know, we just needed to be stronger than that and take the game to Watford a bit more. We allowed them to effectively bully us. I mean, Troy Deeney's comments after the game, a lot's been made of those. I would love to see those comments stuck up in the dressing room, because we shouldn't be in a position where players feel like they can come and do that after a game, you know? Like, I just feel it's very rare that happens, isn't it? An opponent comes out and critiques the team they just played, and you know, we're open to that at the moment. And this needs to be a turning point, that sort of thing.
OK, Jim, let's start to look forward then. You've mentioned, obviously, a couple of big away games to come over the course of the next 6 days. But hopefully, Ramsey, Alexis, Ozil, these kind of players coming back into the fold, and that competition for places, that enhanced quality and experience, surely is going to be very, very important.
Absolutely, it's going to be very important. That gives me confidence that we can mix things up after a disappointing display and, you know, show those players that, you know, not only have they got to compete with their places, but they have some support from some very talented players around them. And also, I'm interested with, you know, the fixtures starting to pile up, whether we're going to see Jack Wilshere a bit more, because we're going to need him. We're absolutely going to need him. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Now, the manager saying he's very close to being match fit. You know, it looked like, you know, he may have come off the bench the other night, but he didn't in the end of it. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. And, you know, just seeing how we fix this problem, how we approach the away game difficulty we've had with two coming up.
And with Red Star Belgrade to come in the Europa League, where Arsenal, of course, have won 2 from 2 so far, I just wonder if one or two of the players will get their chance in that game. Once again, they're sticking their hands up for first-team selection in the Premier League as well, if things go well.
Absolutely, very much so. And that's such a difficult trip. You know, it's such a long, physically draining trip before you even kick a ball. So, you know, that stuff like this, it needs to be used as motivation. You know, like, it's a really, really stern test, again, after disappointment. And I just feel like Arsenal need as many of those as possible at the moment, just to wake up a bit and realise, look, these games are going to come thick, they're going to come fast, they're going to be tough. You're a name to be shot at for absolutely everybody. Everybody wants to scalp of Arsenal. And, you know, players can use that as motivation to step up, get into that team and just, you know, not let us be bullied, start bullying other teams. But we are Arsenal, you know, that means something.
And just finally, it had been a run of, I think I'm right in saying, 6 wins in a draw in 7 in all competitions before the Watford loss. Are you confident of a fairly immediate turn back to form, or are you fearful that this might lead to a more sustained poor run?
No, I feel this is a pattern we've seen before. I feel Arsenal will probably pick it up again, pick up some wins and sort of get back on track. It's how we react to the next big game, you know, or the next game where things seem to be going our way and then they turn against us. It's, you know, we're great when we're having our own way, but it's all about, you know, it's all about standing up to those tests.
Football Ramble's Jim Campbell joining us on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. Jim, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you very much indeed for all of your thoughts. Brilliant.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Young defender Callum Chambers is back at London Colney after spending a year on loan at Middlesbrough. The former Southampton man spoke to us about the time he met his footballing hero, a certain David Beckham.
I think when I was young, I've always wanted to be a footballer. I think there wasn't really anything else, you know, that crossed my mind. Every time, well, every day I was kicking a ball about with my mates. It was just a hobby, something I loved doing. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be where I am today and to be doing what I do. But, yeah, it was just, as a kid growing up, every day, you know, there's a ball at my feet, in the house, in the garden. It's just something I love doing. My sporting heroes when I was young, I'd say that I looked up to David Beckham when I was a kid, because the position I played was right wing. So I sort of looked up to the way he played and I liked his style. I'd also have to say Ronaldinho, just because he's, you know, he's an amazing player, he's a legend, and, you know, the skills he used to do were just amazing to watch. You'd try him in the garden, you'd never get him, but it was just great to see. People I look up to now and respect now, in other sports, I'd say Roger Federer, because he's a legend. You know, the way he plays, the dedication he puts in, he's just amazing to watch. And I'd also say now in football, I'd have to say Sergio Ramos. You know, he's captain of Real Madrid in Spain. I like his style of play. I think, you know, he uses the ball well and he's also aggressive. And I think, you know, that's attributes I like to do and put into my game. So, yeah, those are the people that I would say are my sporting heroes and people I respect in the game. I actually had the chance to meet David Beckham once. It was in London and it was at an art gallery. It was all his pieces from... you know, the past, you know, magazine covers or famous pictures that have been taken. And, yeah, I was there with a mate and we were walking around having a look at all the bits. It was an auction and, you know, things, everything was up for sale. And, yeah, we were walking around and I actually got the chance to meet him there. I had a chat with him. It was, you know, it was quite, well, it was pretty amazing, to be honest. I was a bit starstruck and, you know, trying to think of things to say. But, no, it was amazing. It was great to meet him. You know, he's a great guy and, yeah, he was one of my sporting heroes growing up. Walking around the gallery, there was a lot of cool stuff in there, you know, a lot of things that artists have actually made, you know, doing, you know, portraits of him just to have coins, different shades of coins and things like that. And there was another one which was nails, like nails all, you know, in the shape of his face and stuff. And then obviously he had the old magazine covers and photo shoots he's done. So it was actually quite a cool event to go to see all of these things. Yeah, walking around, seeing, you know, what work people, you know, have put in to pay tribute to him, and the pieces that you've seen there, it was inspiring to see what an impact he had on not just people in football, but people outside of football as well. So it just shows, you know, what, you know, how much he's achieved, and yeah, it's inspiring. I think it's inspiring it was inspiring for me as a kid growing up, and, you know, I think a lot of people still look up to him now as well. Back when I was a kid, I'd have to say I probably copied a couple of Beckham's haircuts. I could never pull it off as well as he done, but yeah, I did copy a couple, and I think I had a Beckham shirt as well.
The A.
Machado!
To Z.
Or Charlie George, you can hit them. Oh, a great goal! Bergkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry.
S is for Stefan Schwartz. Stefan joined the Gunners from Benfica in 1995 and became a cult hero with this goal against Sampdoria in the European Cup Winners' Cup quarter-final.
Schwartz. It's in! Quite amazing. Well, we were writing Arsenal's obituaries here. But this goal by Stefan Schwartz makes it 5-5 on aggregate.
That goal took the game to penalties, where another S, David Seaman, was the hero.
Really strong left-footed shot, but Seaman saved it! And Seaman's done it again from Jurgovic. But Lombardo has to score to keep Sampdoria in it. David Seaman with two saves in this shootout already. Attilio Lombardo. And it's out! Seaman's kept it out! And the Arsenal celebrations can begin. They were nearly counted out. here tonight, which has belonged totally to David Seaman.
That was just a single night in a long list of great games for Safe Hands. He played more than 400 times for the club, winning 3 league championships, 4 FA Cups, a League Cup and a European Cup Winners' Cup to boot. And finally, S is for San Siro, home to both AC and Inter Milan. Arsenal famously won 5-1 there in 2003 against Inter and followed that by becoming the first English team ever to beat AC there, that back in 2008.
Ambitious effort, it's it! Oh, that'll do it! Cesc Fabregas, with a little over 6 minutes remaining, has put Arsenal within sight of the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The Milan public streaming home. This is the end of their season. 18 points off. Come on, as a substitute late in the day here, trying to run past Kolasa. He's got support. Walcott slides it square. Adebayor! Milan 0, Arsenal 2. Emmanuel Adebayor's first Champions League goal for the club. Caps one of their great performances in the competition.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarky, got the puffer jacket on, embracing the impending winter.
Well, it is a bit chilly today and there's a hurricane on the way, so I've dressed accordingly.
Looking good, looking good. In case there's any sou'westers coming in. Now, unfortunately, Arsenal really need to deliver, let's be fair. Come the weekend, why have they struggled so much away from home in the Premier League this campaign?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm sure Arsene Wenger will be searching for the answers to that himself. I think you have to remind yourself that we've been the victim of a couple of dodgy decisions. I thought it was clearly a dive from Richarlison at the weekend. That was a big moment. And Alexander Lacazette was incredibly unlucky to have his goal chalked off at Stoke City. So they make a difference. But in terms of what's missing...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Resolve is the word that comes to mind. Durability. No matter how good you are as a team, no matter how talented you are, you will always come under pressure away from home. You will always need to be galvanised as a group, to fight together and to have that little bit of extra determination, cover one another's backs to protect your goal. And I just think in that department, we've had dips in matches and we've been punished for those dips. It's really, really important that concentration and fight and unity is preserved over the course of 90 when you're on the road, because if you don't, you will get beaten.
Okay, so Everton next up. I actually commentated on Everton on Sunday against Brighton, where they were pretty average for much of the game. Again, I've
good,
got to
good,
say,
this is good.
But you know, got a goal late on, and then could have easily won it. Brilliant double save from Matt Ryan of Brighton in injury time. What do you make of them first of all, and the fact that they've scored nowhere near enough goals and got nowhere near enough points for the money they've spent?
Well, it's been a letdown, haven't they? Ronald Koeman, something's not quite right there at the moment. Players don't seem to be busting a gut for him. Clearly, the recruitment looked good on paper, but it was too many of the same types of players. Badly missing Lukaku. You take him out of the team, his pace, the runs he makes, the finishing ability. You're gonna find it hard to replicate the goal output. But yeah, they've just been flat, haven't they? Chop and change in the tactics as well. Ronald Koeman, one week it's three at the back, then it's four.
It's been more four of late.
It has. But yeah, there's a bit. There just seems to be a bit of disenchantment, imbalance as well within the team. Gylfi Sigurdsson out on the left for a lot of this campaign so far, not his best position. It's a lot of work for him to do, and he needed that equaliser from Wayne Rooney, Ronald Koeman. If they'd have lost that game, it wouldn't have surprised me if they'd have had a new manager coming into the Arsenal match, which would have been good news because Ronald Koeman, unfortunately, has a good record against Arsene Wenger. He likes to upset the boss.
Think of last season at Goodison Park where Everton came from behind in a game that really started a bad run for Arsenal, didn't it? Because they were going well at that point.
And you asked me earlier about what's going wrong away from home. I said resolve over the course of 90 minutes. And that was a case in point. Arsenal were cruising that game. Everton were rubbish. And
wasn't,
you know,
it an iffy corner, if memory springs to mind?
I think
well.
It was. Yeah. I think it was. But Everton were poor. They had nothing. But they came out with a renewed energy after the break. And Arsenal had an inexplicable dip. And it let them back in the game. And again, individual errors proved costly. You can't afford to do that in the Premier League now. You have to respect each opponent for the whole game. And yeah, it's vital. Even though Everton are under pressure, Arsenal can't take their foot off the gas or take anything for granted. Koeman, I'm not saying he's worked out Arsenal, but he does have a decent record against us. So that's something to bear in mind.
Pressure clearly there, isn't there?
Definitely. And that is why I think Arsenal need to start this game properly. They need to get the first goal because if Arsenal take the lead here, and really, I know that Everton fell behind at Brighton and they came back, so let's credit the character they showed there. But on home turf, in front of the baying Goodison Park crowd, if we go 1 or 2 nil up here, we should see the job through. If, on the other hand, they get the momentum early on, suddenly Koeman's feeling better, the players are feeling better, the energy levels will go up. I think it's really, really important, especially as well, given Arsenal's poor record away from home this season, that they start this match properly. I can't stress that enough.
That lack of pace, I just want to quickly address as well. It is odd, isn't it, when you spent all this money in the summer, that they didn't bring in somebody who would just be a different option. They've brought a lot of quite similar players.
Well, it's neglectful, wasn't it, in terms of the recruitment policy. You can't sell a player like Romelu Lukaku without having a replacement lined up. It's idiocy not to. And that's what they did. That's what happened. They sold him, and then suddenly they went out looking for a load of strikers. And, oh, you know, they were surprised when clubs around Europe, knowing what they needed, said, "Oh, actually, no, we're not going to sell
or
to you."
Or put very high prices.
Or we put the high prices up, and Everton were left hamstrung.
But even then, you buy in perhaps a pacey, mobile attacking midfielder to at least vary it, rather than a lot of again quite static players.
I think every squad needs different types of players. Obviously, Olivier Giroud is not in the Arsenal side at the moment, but he's a different type of striker to Lacazette. You need different skill sets for different scenarios. And at the moment, Everton have got no one to stretch the opposition. Too much of their play is in front of opponents, and that is making them predictable and relatively easy to play against. Now, I hope we're not jinxing it here because they've still got talented players, Everton. So much like what I said before the Watford game, Can't take anything for granted here. Got to be on it.
Time for manager Adrian Clarke's 5-second team talk. If you're Arsene Wenger, the boys are about to step out at Goodison. What are your final words in the dressing room?
Well, I get the cuttings out of the newspapers from this week. I put Troy Deeney's words on the wall and I say, look, people are saying you're not up for the fight. People are saying you're too soft to play away from home. Go and prove me wrong. Prove them wrong.
Clarkey, brilliant stuff. Looking on beadily eyed, it is the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer Liam Roberts. And that can only mean one thing, the return of Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
Liam, surveying proceedings from over there. How are we, sir?
It's quite off-putting, actually, isn't it?
It is, it really is.
Well, I enjoyed sitting in your seat so much last week, Clark. I thought I'd get my own one today.
So, you're looking very
cosy. Just surveying.
I can't get a picture where eyes follow you around the room.
We're on stage at a theatre with one person watching us at the moment. That's what it feels like.
And it's your boss.
Yeah.
I should be used to that now, isn't it? How many listeners do we have a week? Okay, so we had 2 weeks off for Brain of Arsenal. Lots of time to revise. How's the revision gone?
I forgot until about
this morning.
Minutes
ago. I saw you earlier on, just in the corner, just revising.
Did a little bit last night and a quick bit on the tube, just.
Oh.
So it's tight at the moment. 22 points to 20 in Adrian's favour. Russ, your turn to choose if you want to go first or second.
My topic, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, is Arsenal kits throughout history, and I will get it out of the way. I'll go first.
Okay, then. So I have the questions here. So, your four questions starting now. Which season did Emirates take over as shirt sponsor?
2006.
Correct. Question two. Between which years were JVC shirt sponsors?
1982 to 1999.
1981. The 81-82.
Oh!
I said which year. I did say which
that,
year.
Oh. You said that with quite a smug smile on your face.
Sorry. So, is there a half point in here for that?
Depends what you can see. Because the look on his face. Unlucky.
No, there's no grey areas.
Unlucky. Why did Arsenal wear a burgundy kit in the 2005-06 season?
It was for the final year at the old Highbury. And it was to note the fact that obviously the first season at Highbury, which is 1913, was also played in that burgundy kit. It was a nod
trying to get
this half point.
Bravo. Bravo.
Correct. And finally, how many shirt sponsors have Arsenal had in their history?
Now, can I ask a question here? Are we counting Sega and Dreamcast separately because they're the same company?
I think that's a fair question. I want to give you my answer because if it... yeah, I think we're counting them as the same.
Okay, just had to confirm that. So we have JVC into Sega Dreamcast into O2 into Emirates. Am I trying to think if I've missed one? I don't think I have, so I'm going to say four.
Correct. 3 out of 4.
Well played, Russ.
Good effort.
Not easy. Thank
you.
So, Adrian, 3 to beat. What was your subject?
The 2014 FA Cup final.
This is week...
2
for you on this one. OK, so your four questions start now. Can you name the 3 players who came on for Arsenal from the subs bench in the game?
Oh, Thomas Rosicki came on. Yaya Sanogo came on. And, Jack Wilshere.
Correct. What number FA Cup final was this?
Oh, I know it. I know which. How many we've won.
I don't know. Which would be great if that was the question.
That's the worst bar trick I've ever heard.
I will say the 19th.
The 19th ever FA Cup final.
Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah. Misunderstood the question.
Give an answer. Sorry.
Misunderstood the question completely. No. This was the 134th FA Cup final.
It's 133rd.
You can ask for the half point.
Question 3. Who won the free kick that Santi Cazorla converted for Arsenal's opener?
That's a bit of a naughty question, that.
Week 3, Clarky.
Yeah. I don't think it was him because he was playing on the other side of the pitch. Free kick was from the left-hand side. So, and the playing on the left-hand side was Lukas Podolski. So I'm going to go for him.
It was Santi.
Oh!
So well, your instinct. We're going to go do 4th one anyway because always sort of points. Who had the home dressing room?
We did.
Correct. Yeah. 2 out of 4. It was a good effort, but unlucky.
The most ever for a third week.
It's the second week.
Oh, that's why. So 1 is still the record for the third week.
Yeah. So, Russ, you take the win and we'll
so go again. I feel I was robbed from a 4-pointer there. So I'm so going to go Arsenal kits again.
So, Adrian.
Oh, yes. I have to think of something else now, don't I? Right, let's go for another happy reminisce. We'll go for the 97-98 double winning season.
Cool, OK, so we'll be back next week for your new subject. And Russ, you'll be week 2 of Arsenal kits.
Liam, thank you very much. And Clarkie, can we see or hear you again?
You better hear me on the Europa League game, actually. I'll be on CoCom's duty for the trip to Red Star Belgrade.
Excellent stuff.
The final word.
The final word this week belongs to the Arsenal record-breaking team. On this day, back in 2004, Arsenal beat Aston Villa 3-1 to record a 49th league game undefeated in a row.
Perez to take. 1-1.
cool, calm, composed. Arsenal back on level terms. Reyes. Oh, what an opportunity here for Thierry Henry. Final flourish to the first half provided by Thierry Henry. Room and space you can ill afford to provide the Frenchman with. Good running. Takes a return pass. Henry. Pires. Should be three. Oh, and it is. You can't give Pires a free shot from there. And Arsenal lead Aston Villa by 3-1.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Callum Chambers, to Jim Campbell, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. Remember too to get your questions into Clarkie for the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. We're back on Monday, the 23rd of October. Don't forget the latest Arsenal Weekly podcast stories is currently available, where we hear about the life and times of the invincible Kolo Touré. Until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.